I have been on this conference. I have been trying to propose a new view how to think scientifically. Then eventually I found some lack in the thinking style of the audience and also speakers. In my opinion, we must come back to the observation and also mathematical inference. Well, you can't be logically think about that. I think we are misled by wrong, maybe philosophers or psychologists or not mathematicians, or even mathematicians are crazy, I think. So I'd like to point out one thing. Do you have any room to change yourself? Now I think it's a time to look back ourselves. So I'd like to give you a hint. Even though we are looking something with my eyes, but movement is possibly controlled another personality. Yeah. So my question is, do you have a room to reconsider your thinking style? That's my question. To address to everybody.
Yes, I think we have to, in this activity as well as all other activities, have to think of ourselves as agents that have a choice and that can change ourselves. So maybe changing an entire community's scientific or theoretical practice is very difficult, but I think it's possible.
You wanted to include the aspect of experience in seeing red. If none of us see infrared, does that mean we cannot have a full scientific account of infrared?
That's right. We cannot have this community, if none of the members of this community can experience infrared, then I would say this community cannot have a scientific account of what it's like to experience infrared.
It's just I'm getting a very circular argument. We cannot experience, but we've got to put the experience. I'm sorry. I'm just getting a little bit confused about the way you use experience there.
Sorry. Yeah. It's not. I don't mean to give the appearance of circularity. I'm just saying, if you want to have, there are limitations on the kinds of accounts we as a community can have. And in particular, since none of us, I assume, can have an experience of infrared, then I don't think it's very likely. It might be possible, but it could very well be possible that we cannot have an account of what it's like to experience infrared, because none of us have ever done that. So if we can't even experience infrared, how could we have a scientific account of what it's like to experience infrared?
Well, first an observation about your argument about Nagel. I think that Nagel tried to refer to an ontological difference between subjectivity and subjectivity. Well, to me it seems that you somehow try to reduce that to an epistemical difference. And another consideration that I would like to do is about the second point about Jackson. Galileo's science, when Galileo defined science, he was clear that we must leave out the subjective aspect of experience and we must concentrate on the objective. And even in that case, there was more an ontological difference, because he was clear. On one side, we have measurement, numbers, quantity. On the other side, we have experience, phenomenal qualities, and so on. So I think that you must be clear on what you mean on this point, if you can make any comment.
Sure. Concerning the point about Nagel, yes, I think sometimes I tried to be careful about this, but I'd like to stress that I'm not attributing these views to Nagel himself. He's the one who raised this problem for science, the objective nature of science versus the subjective nature of what science is trying to understand. I don't think he is simple-minded and thinks that therefore there can't be a science of consciousness, but rather he raised this worry that I think a lot of people still have. And concerning Jackson and Galileo, I would say, well, I guess that just goes to show that a kind of mistake that I'm hoping that we can get away from can be traced back at least as far as Galileo. That is, I think the view that somehow there's the science on one hand and then our experience on the other is a mistake, but rather experience plays an integral role in science, in collecting data, in hypothesis formation. All of these involve experiencing subjects, especially in the case of a science of experience.
Now, connecting to that question, traditionally, by physicalism, I suppose we mean the view according to which vocabulary of physics is sufficient for you in order to give an account, give a full account of a phenomenon, and that, in fact, this account might falsify everyday experience. But now, isn't your account, in fact, doesn't it actually imply a criticism of physicalism? Because what you are saying is that you have to start from somewhere, from everyday experience, and that not even physics could just be described in the traditional physicalist way.
Very good question. Yes, I realize that the kind of science I'm asking you to consider, actually, it's not a new science. I think it's science as being conducted now, but we just don't think of it that way. But it sounds like I'm advocating a non-physicalist science because experience is playing an important role in it. But for you to assume from the outset that makes science non-physicalist is for you to be assuming that experiences are non-physical. And I'm trying to be completely ontologically neutral. I'm, in a sense, you're right, I'm not saying that physicalist the vocabulary of physics will be sufficient. But that's because I'm also saying that vocabulary itself isn't sufficient. Science isn't about vocabulary. Science isn't just about theories. Science is about activity, about capacities, about experiences, just as much as it is about having vocabularies and languages within which to frame theories. So you're right. I'm saying there's more than the vocabulary of physics, but that doesn't mean that we have to have a new kind of science. I'll just remind you of one slide. What I'm interested in is a non-dualistic account, and I think I've shown that we can have a non-dualistic account of consciousness.
Okay. Number one. Yeah. You said that concepts could change. Okay. If something changes, something has to be concept. If something remains the same thing and yet can change, something must be constant and something must change, right? So I would have understood if you had said that linguistic meanings change, so the meaning of the word consciousness can change. That seems quite okay, because the actual word seems to remain the same and the meaning changes. But I just don't understand what you mean when you say that the concept of consciousness remains the same. I mean, it's a different concept if it changes. That's question number one. Question number two, can you not take Chalmers' logical entailment argument in a slightly different vein? You can sort of understand it to be analytical independence of two predicates, mental predicate red and the physicalist predicate, and then in which case it would be completely compatible, I think, with your own position, that is monism. You just have two aspects of the same thing.
Right. As far as the second one goes, yes, thanks for your help. I think that's another way of seeing why Chalmers' claim doesn't imply that there's an explanatory gap. It just implies there's a deductive gap or something like that. The first point, yes, you've caught me at a weak point because I haven't developed my theory of concepts, which makes intelligible how concepts can change. But as far as your idea about it, something having to remain the same, no, I disagree. I think you can just have a series of different concepts, and because there's some continuity relationship between them, even though they have nothing in common, they're still the same concept. They're in the same trajectory through conceptual space.
Three words. Back to red and infrared. Someone here gave an account of proto-phenomenology in which you can transduce between sensory modes, between hearing and seeing, for example. If you can transduce from infrared to red through a simple viewer, this is not so different from what the retina does already. So there's no basic difference then between infrared and red in this sense.
Right. I would encourage this kind of optimism about what kind of accounts of experience we can have. All I was, in the previous question, all I was doing was, if it turns out that we couldn't have an account of what it's like to experience infrared, that shouldn't be a surprise. I think there will be, even if in case of infrared, we can come up with an account through such kinds of novel developments or transducers, I think the previous questioner's point still remains. There are limits to the kinds of experience we can give accounts for, given that there are limits to the kinds of experiences we can have.